Amen. 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 I got a great song for you today, and it's from another church, Christ Fellowship Church, I believe. Listen to this. Soon and very... How many of you know that song, Soon and Very Soon? Yes? Here it is. Turn it up. Sing along with them, too. You'll enjoy it. This is a good song.
We're
Last week we talked, the first half of this message, are of 10 infallible reasons and revelations concerning the Word of God for living in a troubled world. I think we've all concluded last week we are definitely living in a troubled world. There's not a day that goes by that something happens in this world. This last past week in Israel, a nation that we need to honor, they have been fighting battles right there. You don't have to. You're in a state that we don't, in a nation here, we don't go through many, many battles like they do. Now, our battles might be words, battles of words and battles and stuff, and we go through a few things, few, minute, compared to what is happening in Israel. Really? True? This is true. I'm talking about Palestinians and Israel just fighting tooth and nail. Palestinians are coming up to the Israelites. Palestinians are coming up to the Israelites, to people on the street, and stabbing them. Okay? They're coming up with bombs strapped to their body and killing themselves and killing people there. That's what's going on. So are we living in a troubled world? We are. Okay, so we know that. So we have to know, how do we fight in this troubled world? How do we fight when you see all this stuff going on? Well, last week I gave you some things. First of all, I gave you the foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation to every believer. Jesus said it. Jesus told it. Foundation. It's the food. As we need food to live on, right? If you do not feed a baby, that baby will not grow up. That baby will eventually die because it needs food to live on. If you were to stop eating, that's how we can tell when a person's getting close to their transition in their life, is when they stop eating and they stop drinking. Because you cannot survive without food and water. You can't. So when they decide to not eat or drink anymore, we know their time on this earth is growing short. Well, I believe the same thing is spiritual. Come on. Stay with me on this one. If you aren't hungry for the Word of God, and you only bring it to the church on Sunday, and you put it away and hide it all week long, and you don't open it up, you're going to starve. And you're going to die spiritually. Every day, you need to have the Word of God. Every day. Every day when I'm in my car and I'm traveling from house to house, I have the Word of God. I listen to it. I've got, if you guys need a copy of that, of those tapes, you know, I have them. I'll give you a copy. I got a good deal on them, and I'll give them away. You know, I got such a good deal on them, they increased the price. They said, we can't keep doing this. Well, God gave me a good deal, and now he made the deal go bigger. So people now you have to, it cost you $10. See, I got them for $5. $5. The whole New Testament, the living New Testament. So what that does is it's in the King James, but it talks to you, and there's music in the background. There's lots of things, you know. So I'm not saying, sometimes you just can't read your Bible, and you're driving your car, it's a little hard to read your Bible. But you can have it read to you. Right? Cynthia, is that right? You know, that's really depending on God. If you sat there driving your car and you're reading, Lord, you're there, you're going to see through it. That car is in front of me. Lord, get him out of my way. I know I love the Lord, but I don't want to test the Lord. Not on that one. So, but you can do that. You know, you can have devotions. I've got a little book called Our Daily Bread. And it's a devotional book that I take to all my people. So every day I'm reading the Word of God to them through a devotional. You know, so Jeremy's starting to read that. I have the devotionals right over there. You guys can pick one up. You know, quarterly devotional. Anything, my goodness, anything you can do to get the Word of God engrafted in you. Because if you don't, the devil will give you plenty of words. He'll give you plenty of sayings. He'll give you things that will entice you. And if you're not scripturally sound, he'll lead you astray. And see, that's the thing. The more time you spend with Jesus, the less time you'll feel like spending with the world and the things of the world. The less time you spend with Jesus, the more time Satan will entice you to spend time with him. Is that okay? That's food. Spiritual food. The next one, Cynthia is going to help me, and the word is felicity. I'm not even going to attempt that word because I mess it up every time I say it, so I'll leave it to someone else. And in that, we must be filled with the Word of God. Those who delight and meditate day and night on His Word will experience success in all their endeavors. I like that. How many of you want to be successful? I know I do. I want to be successful. And God is telling you the way to be successful is have felicity. Learn to meditate on His Word. Learn to put Him above everything else. Hallelujah. Next one is fight. Now, some of us understand that word fight because, you know, somebody say something to me, I'll punch them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about fighting. We must use not our fist, but use the Word of God to fight Satan. Now understand, in Ephesians 6, it doesn't say that we are fighting against the principalities of this world. We're not fighting against people, right? We're fighting a spiritual battle against the spiritual things of this world. Things that are wrong, evil, things that are going around us. People themselves are not evil. It's satanic forces that use them that cause them to be evil. But in God's sight, every human being was created by God. And if he or she is created by God, then they're in their own natural sight, beautiful in God's eyes. What makes them not beautiful is sin. And the choices they make, the sinful choices they make. So when we are battling or fighting a battleground, if we fight in our own self, we're giving in to Satan. But if we battle that same thing in a spiritual realm through the Word of God, then we're hitting Satan right between the eyes because he can't handle the Word of God. He can't handle it, okay? He knows the Word of God. So if you don't know the Word of God, he'll distort it to make you know it his way, not God's way. He can distort it. He knows the Word of God, the literal Word of God, but he doesn't know the spiritual side of the Word of God. And God gives you the spiritual insight. I like this word, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. How many of you have read the Word of God, and you come to a scripture you've read 10, 20 times, and all of a sudden that same scripture that you read 10 or 20 times before lights up like a light bulb, you know? And it says, wow, the same word I've read over and over again, now all of a sudden lights up into my heart, my spirit. That's revelation knowledge. See, that's what makes the Word of God so wonderful. So wonderful. It's the revelation of God. Fight. Don't fight. Learn to fight the right way. Learn to fight with the Word of God. Because, like I've said before, to my family, the battle is the Lord's. Okay? The battle is the Lord's. Faith. The Word of God stimulates us to inspire our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God brings clarity and understanding in times of perplexity and confusion. Right? How many have been confused at times? How many have been kind of perplexed? Don't know what to do. Come on. I know I have. Probably more times than I'd like to think about. You know? But I do understand that faith is that hearing the Word of God. Faith. Okay? I had one of my social workers came to me, or we're in a cubicle area. All six of us are there. So, you know, I had both social workers and my other chaplain over there, and they got to talking about death. And one of the social workers, I don't believe in death. I don't believe, not death, but hell. I don't believe in hell. And so I'm sitting there listening, doing my paperwork, and says, "Hey, Jerry, come on, help us. Enlighten us on hell. What's your thought pattern on hell?" And I went over there and I said, "You know, whether you believe it or not, faith is faith. First, you got to believe faith that the Word of God is true. Now, if you believe that the Word of God is true and you have a faith to believe the Word of God is true, then God says in the Word of God, there is a heaven, but He also says there is a hell. Now, there are many descriptions of hell, but let me give you one description of hell. There's many in the Bible, but the one that I want to tell you today, how many, you know, have you ever, but I won't tell your name, have you ever been in a cave and you turn the light out and there's no light in that cave? How does it feel?" She says, "It feels eerie. I can't take it. They got to turn the light on. I feel like I'm going to get hit. I feel like a train's going to go by and hit me. I mean, I feel horrible. I can't have that light out for too long." That's hell. That's one description of hell. Utter darkness. God takes His presence from you. You have His presence now. Even if you don't have full faith, you have His presence all around us. His grace, His love, His compassion. You have all that. When that is removed and utter darkness is there, there's total despair. That's the one determination of hell. And she looked at me and she said, "Wow, I think I got to her on hell." Just one meaning. But that's all part of this. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in this Word of God that is true. It's not a lie. It's not something just written by man. And that's what they're going to tell you. It's written by man. No, but it's written by man, but inspired by God. Faith. Faith. Hallelujah. "Therefore, we must be careful to fill our hearts with the Word of God, which will fill us with faith and confidence." You have to understand that, faith. Okay? "We can trust in the promises of God, that He will fulfill assurance, and that He will fulfill what He says He has promised. If He promises you something, which He promised in the Word, many things, will He fulfill it?" In Numbers, it tells you that God is not just a man or the son of man to make a promise and then not fulfill it. If He makes you a promise, He says He'll fulfill it. Woo! Come on, people. Jesus Himself said that even if the heavens and earth pass away, His word shall never, what? Come on. Pass away. It was true for them, and it's true for today. Not only are we to have faith, but the Scripture also tells us that we must follow. Okay? The Word of God must be followed and obeyed. We must not stop with the hearing of the Word of God, but we must obey the Word of God. We must be doers of the Word, not hearers only. I think I got to say that again to get it into our hearts. We must learn to be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. Faith and works go together. Faith and action go together. Okay? So, that being said, turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And you can write these in your little notes too if you'd like. James 1, 22 through 25. Now, we understand about having faith, right? But we also know faith without what works is what? Dead. So the Bible is telling us that you just can't be hearers of the word, right? It's important to be hearers of the word, to understand and hear his word. But it's the second part of that. We must be doers of the word. And in James 1, 22 through 25, it says, "But be doers of the word, not and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of his word, of his work, this work, the work, I'll get it. This one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed in what he does. Not just because he's a hearer of the word, right? But he's a doer of the word. He's obedient to the word. Okay? Every time we hear the word of God, it is like looking into a mirror where we see an image of ourselves. We see our true condition. Ooh. Therefore, we must rectify whatever flaws are reflected in that mirror. If we look in the mirror, God is giving us a good indication of who we really are. Okay? We look in it, we see ourselves, we see that reflection, we see our faults, our failures, our sins, we see things. God is doing this. Yes, you can see your wrinkles too. You can see your gray hair too. You know, but you're not supposed to look at that. That's what dye is for. But we see all these things. We see all these things. Why does God tell that? Why does God give us that scripture? He wants to understand that when we're looking in the mirror, we're looking, God is giving us an indication of who we are and what areas of life we need to work on. I don't believe it's duties for everybody to go around telling everybody what their wrongs are. I don't believe we're supposed to do that. That's where the mirror comes in. That's where God comes in. Because he comes in, and when you look in that mirror and you get a true indication of who you are, you know, it's what you do after you leave the mirror. If you look in the mirror, you see yourself, and you walk away, and you're back to the same old self, you haven't done anything. But the mirror gives you an image of yourself that God wants to help you with. You know, oh my goodness, that's the mirror of your life. Lord, help me. Be obedient to your word. Let me see my flaws through this mirror of life that you have presented to me. Talk to me, Lord. Help me understand ways I can better myself in you. That's what the mirror is for, is to teach you to better yourself in God. To learn to make right choices. We must remember who we are in Christ Jesus whenever we look into the mirror of the Word of God. The Word of God is a source of guidance of our lives. It reveals to us the principles of God and values that we must live by. It gives a sense of direction to our lives. It helps us make decisions when we face the crossroads in our lives. It is a light to our lives when everything looks dark around us. We can never hear the voice of God speaking to us. We can always, always, you can never hear it if you don't open your ears. But if you will open your ears, look in that mirror, he will talk to you. He will talk to you. So, you know, some people say, I've never heard God. I pray for him to talk to me. I want something from God, and I need it right now. You ever thought, open this up? If you want to hear God, read his word. This is God. This is God. This is God. not to be open just on Sunday morning. Daily. Many people have died. Did you know the disciples, other than one disciple, that 11 of those disciples were martyrs? They died. Yeah. They died so that you and I would have this. Don't ever down the disciples. Lift them up. You know, they did what they needed to do so that you and I would have this word of God. John was the only one that lived a true, whole life. But he was exiled. He exiled to Patmos. Do you know also they tried to kill him? They tried to kill him. They left him for dead. They said, "We got him. He's dead. He woke up." God healed. See, if God wants you here on this earth, you'll be here on this earth until he says, "I'm done. Time's up. Let's go home." Okay? And I tell so many of my people that, because they're always asking me, "Why am I still here? I'm in a wheelchair. I'm in bed. I can't get out of bed. Why am I still here?" I said, "Because God has something for you. And when he's done, he'll take you home." So it helps some of them, and it doesn't help some of them. So follow. The word of God is a source of guidance in our lives. He will always follow. You can hear the voice of God speaking to us through the word of God. Number 7 is feebleness. The word of God gives us solace and comfort in times of sorrow and agony when we are weak and we are feeble. Do you understand that? Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Oh my goodness. It gives us rest and peace within our hearts. When we're troubled and not knowing what to do, when we are feeble and we don't understand, and we're going through frustration after frustration of frustration, God says, "I'm here for you. I will take your right hand. I will lead you. I will lead you." It gives us hope and assurance of God's presence and assistance. Therefore, we must seek our comfort and consolation from the Word of God in times of distress and pain. In times the word of insensitive people can hurt and deeply hurt you. But I will tell you, they don't understand God. They don't understand his word. And we can get hurt by words. People can be very insensitive. In today's world of cyber bullying, okay? Bullying at school. We've had kids kill themselves, commit suicide over words. Not over people taking a gun and shooting them. I'm talking over words. We need to be very careful of our words and what we say. We can either encourage or hurt. At such times, we must come to the Word of God and receive the words of comfort and consolation that God speaks to us. And that's the problem with so many people in today's world. They don't have that ability. They have it, but they don't choose it. You know, I've said this over and again. We are the sum total of the choices we make in life. And if you get some cyber bully out there, or some school bully, or some work bully, they will try to tear you down and put you down. And, you know, I will tell you this. God's there. God will help you. Forewarn. The Word of God gives us warning concerning the dangers that we face in this world. It is a voice of correction when we go astray from the path of righteousness. It saves us from serious dangers to our life and eternal soul by warning us about the seriousness of the consequences of wrong lifestyles. It is a wall of protection for our lives. And I love this. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and it says, "Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof," and I'm doing this in the Amplified, "and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man and woman of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the Amplified. Wow! And that's exactly. God talks to you. He does warn you. But again, you're the sum total of the choices you make. You choose to either follow God or not to follow Him. You choose to obey what He is telling you. Okay? Your conscience will tell you through the Word of God. I say anytime that you feel a little uneasy, you know, and you've got something going your way and you feel a little uneasy in it, go to the Word of God. I'm talking about even job. You're applying for a job and you feel a little uneasy about it, go to the Word of God. Get His instruction. Get His instruction. God will lead you down the right path. He'll give you the right jobs. He'll help you. He'll help you if you allow Him to. And freedom. How many of you feel like you have freedom? We do. Not in this world. Not in the freedom that you think. But freedom in God. The Word of God delivers us and frees us from the danger and destruction that this world offers. Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Word of God will not return void, but will accomplish the purposes for which He has sent us. Therefore, let us receive the Word of God at all times, in danger and good times, bad times, frustrated times. Stand upon His Word, and we will be delivered from all our destructions, all our fears. Turn with me. Isaiah. And I want to read this one. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It won't be on the screen. Oh, yeah, it will be. So, yes, there it is. Not in Amplified. Not in Amplified. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. Ooh, I like that. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. And it shall, now I like this one. Very last of this is that this is the whole thing. And it shall prosper in all the things for which I send it. All the things. God's word will prosper. Prosper you in your spiritual walk. Last is forbearance. We must have forbearance and patience. Uh-oh, there's that word. To enjoy the fulfillment of the word of God in our lives. The promises of God are fulfilled in our lives according to God's timing. We must be patient. Patient. We should not get discouraged easily and give up hope. A good example of that is Joseph. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Okay? Joseph was probably he was the favorite son, and the other 11 were really upset with him all the time. So they decided a way of getting rid of him, throw him down a well. And instead of killing him, they sent him off into slavery. But Joseph got the word of God, and word of God came to him and said, you are going to be the leader of a nation and the leader of all your people, including your brothers and sisters. Where he went wrong is he told his brothers and sisters that, you know. He told his brothers, hey, I'm going to be over you guys. Yeah, right. You know, you're going to have to bow down to me. Yeah. Probably that was a little too cocky, because that got him into a world of hurt. He was sent into slavery, okay? And he actually, in grace from God, was put into the palace. And then he was, you know, deceived and hurt by the lady, Potiphar's wife. Again, thrown into another prison. He was in the prison quite a few times. And each time he was in the prison, you know, God graciously worked with him. But it took him a time, a very long time, to get where he was, where he would be over the other people. It didn't happen right overnight. He had many opportunities to lose hope. I mean, come and think of it. How many of us, if we're in a prison, would lose a little hope? But God says, be patient. He will overthrow the problems, and he will lift you up to what he said he will lift you up. That was Joseph. His patience helped him. We must have forbearance to endure such a refining and filtering process in our life. Do you understand? I believe that God was refining him, filtering him, helping him. I'll leave you with this scripture in Hebrews 10:35 through 37. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation or reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. If we will understand that, and we will understand that, no matter what we go, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Going to Brooklyn, to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir right now, because they're taking their cross up. You need to learn to take your cross up. No matter what you go through, stay with the Lord. Get into His Word.
Take up the cross.
Thank you.
take up the cross. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, oh God, to take up the cross. Take up the Word of God and know that it is the truth. It is the life. It is the substance, oh God, that we live by. Take your Word of God with us on a daily basis, oh God. Stand with us, Lord, as we walk into the battlefield. This world outside is a battlefield, O Lord, and we must have the strength as we go out into the battlefield. Give us the Word of God as our strength. Bring it back to our remembrance, O God, as we are out there and we encounter people, O God. Bring the Word of God to remembrance, O God, back into our heart, into our soul, into our mind, O God, that we can encourage others, win the lost for you. I pray this in your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thursday night, prayer, Bible study. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.